Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place near to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
what's
more
to be. With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I dwelled in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious days of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us, Father, guidance that we need, and to help us to grow stronger and closer unto you and the Lord Jesus Christ, and to lead us into the truth, the depth of your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. I'm going to eventually be talking to you tonight from Psalms. Psalms 1, where we'll be starting. But, as I was telling you this morning, the Lord God's been working with me heavy this last week. He's changed a lot of things in my living and in my life that really nobody knows about yet. But they're about to find out. You know, there's a lot of things that we have been taught so much different than the way it is. And a lot of things we really don't understand. And prayer is one of them. Most people really don't know how to pray, or why they should pray, or when to pray, or what it's all about. And most of mankind today, in order to get them to go to prayer, is when something happens through either sickness or accident or something happens. Then they want to go to the Lord and ask for things. But that's not what prayer is all about. And we all need, if we really want to make heaven our home, we need to set aside times for prayer, because that's the way we learn. Prayer is a tool of learning. You know, there are times that, yes, that we do need to ask God for things. We can pick up a sickness or something, and we need to go take that to Him and ask Him to touch us, because He is our healer, and He will. But there's also times we need to just go to Him to praise His name and to thank Him for everything that we have. We don't have anything God hasn't given us. Oh, no, no, that's not right. Now, I bought this, I bought that. How'd you buy it? You bought it because He gave you help enough or a way to get a hold of money enough to buy it. But He was there letting you be able to accomplish whatever you accomplished. Because, you see, the things that we know and understand, God has granted to us in some form or another. Some of us is taught to us in school. Some of it was taught to us by our mothers and dad. But it all came from Him. Because in the beginning, man didn't know anything. And God has gave us all of it. And we need to every once in a while add fasting to our prayers. But our day should start when we wake up in the morning, before we do anything else. We need to go to Him in prayer. And if you don't have anything else on your heart except just to thank Him for bringing you through the night and into another day, and for the health that you do have. Because if you're breathing, you got some help. You may not have it all. You may still need a healing touch from Him. But thank Him for what you do have. And then we need, along about noonday, noontime, need to go to Him again in prayer. Oh, that quick? Yes, that quick. And thank Him for what has happened through that morning. And then before your eyes close at night, go to Him again in prayer. And yes, let Him know what is on your heart. We all have things on our heart, things that bother us, things that are on our minds and all. And let Him know. He tells you, He says that we can come to Him in prayer and come boldly. That means I'm going to be honest with Him. I'm going to let Him know what is really in my heart. And if I've got something in there that shouldn't be there, I'm going to ask Him then to forgive me for it and to take it out of me and not let it come back. But that's, you see, and when we pray, we don't pray to a saint like a lot of people do. We don't pray to His Mother Mary like a lot of people do. Because, you see, they can't do anything for you. Our prayers go to the Father. He's the one that does all things. And we're told in His Word, pray to the Father which is in heaven, and pray to Him in Jesus' name. You go to Him, Father, I'm coming to You this evening or this morning or whatever time it may be, and I'm coming to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way we're told to pray. He said, and I will hear from heaven But if you know that I hear from heaven, you know that I will grant your wishes. If you've been honest and sincere with it, and you are truly standing in need of what you have asked of him for what you have said, he'll take care of it. You see, but you've got to believe and know in your heart that what he has done, what he has said and told you to do is truth. A lot of us, we just don't think that way, do we? And today, now, with everything that's going on around, well, here in our nation, but even around the world, they're walking further and further and further away from him every day. A lot of them are talking about a big revival. We can have a revival, yes. And we stand in need of one. But by the same token, while we are even having this revival, we are losing our freedom and our country. Because our churches will not stand up. They will not come together. They will not take these things to the right places and make their voices heard. They're sitting back, keeping quiet, and letting these five or six people up there in our government take our country away from us, and they're going to bring in socialism. You ain't going to want that when it happens.
Amen.
You ain't going to want socialism. Socialism means you won't own nothing. All of us that owns our own home won't be yours anymore, because they'll take it. And then they'll tell you where you're going to live. They'll tell you whether you're going to work or not, and where you're going to work, whether you're able to work or not. Because if you're not able to do what they tell you to do, they'll get rid of you.
Amen.
They're doing it in other countries right now.
Amen.
And they're lining God's people up right now in Afghanistan by the hundreds. It showed it. It was shown live on television where they had hundreds of them laying out, face down on the bank, and they were walking down behind them, shooting. They wasn't even paying attention to where they was hitting them. They were just shooting them. Because they didn't care. They didn't care about how much pain or anything that was causing. Then when they got to the end of the line, they turned around and they pulled up the front of them, then with a kill shot. Because our president left them over there. He stranded them. He pulled the military out that was keeping them safe before he pulled them out, left them stranded, and left even our military equipment over there. They've got hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of our equipment. No, they've even got one of our Black Hawk helicopters, which is a fighting helicopter. Don't know how many more, but we do know they got that one because we've seen it on television. It's time that everybody, unless they want that lake of fire, they better get right with God. Oh, well, you know, I read my Bible and I do this, but how much of it are you actually taking in? How much of it are you really using? How much of it have you brought into your life? And are you sharing it with anyone else? Because you see, that's what it's going to take to make heaven your home. Yes, we all know that in order to become a believer, we have to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him know Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Come into my life. Take my life and do with it what you want to do with it. Use me. I want to be a child of God. And he told you he would. If you're sincere about it, then he will do that for you. He'll do it right then. And you have become a believer. But you've just got started. Because now you need the knowledge of how to walk and grow to become that born-again child of the living God. Because you see, until you reach that point, you can't make heaven your home. Oh, no, no. Now my church, you know where I go. They tell you, no, when I went and I told Jesus about my sins, he forgave my sins, I was saved right there. No, you wouldn't. You're just getting started. Because you've got to reach that point of being born again. You've got to put Jesus on. You do that through baptism. You're baptized in his name. Not some other name or names. But most churches want to use names. They want to use three. They want to baptize you in the name of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the way they want to do it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Oh, well, it don't matter. It's just symbolic. No, it's not. You're told in Acts 2:38 better than that. The sixth chapter of Romans tells you exactly what took place when you were baptized the right way. When you are baptized in Jesus' name, you're putting on his death and you're taking on his resurrection, and you are then to start walking in newness of life. And you're still not finished. Because you've got to become that born-again child of God. Because without becoming a born-again child of God, you're not going to make heaven your home. Oh, now, no. No, you ain't right there. Mm-mm. Oh, when he forgave my sins, I had heaven made my home. And I can just go out here and do anything I want to do, live any old way I want to live, and I'm going to make heaven my home. Well, are you? You look at John chapter 3. Jesus talking to Nicodemus. We'll begin here with verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus' words, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There he goes on with a whole lot more about that. And you go back into 3 John and it tells you that when you're born again, what happened to you? He tells you when you're born again, his seed, the Holy Spirit, will remain in you, come to you, remain in you. And it tells you you cannot sin because you're born of God. So you don't go out here and live any old way you want to live. Think about it. I've covered that because the Lord is leading me here tonight with part of the service. As I told you this morning in Psalms 119. Psalms 119. I've got a little something I want to show you. about Psalms, the book of Psalms. I was raised in the church. I was always told that the author of the book of Psalms was David. They were Psalms. I've read this Bible through I don't know how many times. I don't know how many times I have actually read through Psalms. But when I'd go to the book of Psalms, I'd just go to the first Psalms and go through the rest of it. Yesterday, told you God's been on me all week. Yesterday, I'm sitting at home. He led me to Psalms and told me, he said, you can bring this into your service Sunday night. So I turned over to Psalms. What about some Psalms, Lord, do you want me? Well, he showed me a couple of places to touch on. But he says, now, let's come in to see what Psalms is all about. We've all been taught that David was the author of Psalms. Well, he wrote some of them. But there was also six more that wrote this book. The book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible. There's 150 Psalms are what we would call chapters. They're small, and a lot of the verses are small. Moses wrote Psalms 90. David did write, he wrote 73 Psalms. He wrote 73 of that 150. Asaph wrote Psalms 50. 73 through 83. Solomon wrote Psalms 72 and 127. Herman wrote Psalms 88 and Ethan wrote Psalms 89. I didn't know Psalms had been divided up into five books. But it has been divided into five books. The first book is Psalms 1 through 41. The second book of Psalms is Psalms 42 to 72. The third is Psalms 73 to 89. Four is Psalms 90 to 106. And five is 107 to 150. Now, also, each book has certain things that is mainly put into it. Book one has 30 different topics of things in that book. That's your first 41 verses. And it has 30 different topics. Book two has 72 topics in it. I could give them all to you, but we ain't got time. Book three, it's got 89 different topics. Book four has got 106. And then from 106 to 150 is in book five. Think about it. all in the book of Psalms. This morning when I made the announcement I'd be talking to you a little from the book of Psalms tonight, that's going to be in 119, Psalms 119. You know what my buddy Kenny told me? He said, good luck. Hope you can make it all the way through it. Well, I ain't figured on making it all the way through it. But I am going to start with chapter 1. And we are going to be getting over to another. Because also, along with prayer and knowing how to pray, knowing what we need to do with our prayer life, is one thing I want to talk to you about, which we have. The other is how to study the Bible. You don't just sit and read it. You've got to meditate on it. Well, now, what's meditation? That means that when you read a verse, you're asking God, what's this verse really saying? And you take the time for the Spirit to reveal to you what that is saying. You see, I preach different than most men, don't I? I know most of you here that are here right now would rather hear Dennis preach than me. I know that. And most of you would rather hear Kenny preach than me. Because they are more orthodox. They're more like most of the pastors are. Where I teach.
Amen.
And I don't walk around no subject or no one. And I take time that when I read a verse, I'm going to go back and break it down for you. I'll read the chapter to you. But then I always go back and start breaking it down verse by verse. That's so you can get really what God is wanting you to have. That's like right here. In verse 1 of Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, what else is in that verse? God's telling you that you are blessed if you are walking not with the sinner. If you're not walking with sinners, you're not doing what they are doing. You're not really associating with them. Your association is with the people and the children of Almighty God. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And he's telling you that if you're not walking with those sinners and you are walking with his children, then you are blessed. See how that changed that verse? Yet it didn't change it. It just added to it. It lets you know what he was getting at. You see, when you and I sit down and talk, we understand each other because if something comes up while we're talking, we break it down and explain it to each other. That's exactly what we have to do with God's Word in order to be able to receive the power, the grace, the honor, and the glory that He aims for us to have, to give us the strength of faith so that we can walk upright with Him. Now here in verse 2, but this, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does He meditate day and night. There's that. Here just in the second verse, we run into that other word that I was talking to you about, that meditation, to meditate. We are to meditate day and night and meditate on God's Word, on His law. That's where we find His law, is in His Word. Now, he tells us here in 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's telling you that if you are walking according to these first two verses here, that you're like that tree that's planted by the water that gets that nourishment. You're getting your nourishment from Him. And you are to share that nourishment, because you are to bring forth what? Fruit. That's the way you bring forth fruit to God, is by sharing His Word, His will, His way with others. And then you are bringing fruit to Him. And he goes on to tell you that if you do that, then you don't wither. In other words, you're not going downhill. You're not going the wrong way. You're going the right way. And whatever you do will prosper, because He is going to be blessing you. There's a lot more to walking as a child of God, pardon me, than just going to Jesus and saying, Lord, forgive me. Because there's a whole lot more to learn to be able to do what God. You see, when you are accepted into God's family, He has a work for you. Now that work could be sweeping the church floor. Well, this one you wouldn't sweep, you vacuum. But that could be that. But whatever it is, that's what you want to do. You want to do what He has given you to do. And it's through prayer and study His Word that you know what He has for you. Now, because you see, the more you grow and the stronger you grow, especially in the spirit, the more He talks to you, the more He deals with you, and then He begins to talk to you in dreams, in visions, and in word. And then He's always talking to you through His Word. That's why you meditate on His Word, to see what each verse is fully telling you. It's all there. You just got to give it time. That's why He tells us in his word. He don't say, read the Bible. Does he? Nowhere in there does he say, read my Bible. He says, study to show thyself approved, a workman worthy of his heart. He tells us to study it. That's why we are to meditate upon his word. And he tells us over in the New Testament, he tells you to meditate day and night upon his word. Now, I don't know what else we'll find here in this Psalms. Now, I don't know how long he's going to keep me in Psalms. But whatever, that's what it'll be. Anyway, I want to go over with you here now, though, to I'll get it here in just a minute. Hang on with me. Psalms 97, verse 97 here. We were talking about meditation. And here again we find that. That's why I want to take you back there, so you'll know that it wasn't just my words. Psalms 97 tells you, he says, we'll be going back to first Psalms, but right now I'm just coming over here to show you that it's not my word, it's his. It says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all day. In other words, his law is his word, and I am to meditate on it all day. And the closer you walk with him, and the stronger you walk with him, the more you will find yourself meditating on parts of his word that you have read, that he will bring back as you're going through your day. Today, driving to Brandenburg, several times on my way down, he run part of this through my mind. Coming back, he run parts of it through my mind. And when I got home, he run a whole lot of it through my mind. Now, we come down here to verse 4. But I just wanted to show you on 97 there about that meditation. Because it gives us great understanding. In 98 and 99, it states this, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. See, again, back to meditation. Because as we meditate upon his word, we get more out of it. Because we are getting a greater understanding of what has been said. 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In other words, the ungodly, you see, they don't have these things that we've been talking about. And they're like the chaff to the wind. In other words, they're going to wind up being destroyed, gotten rid of. You work in a wheat field, that used to be the way your feet, your wheat was actually separated. They would take it and pitch it up in the air, and the wind would blow the chaff off of it and away from it. And you had just the wheat left, just the seed. And that's what he's talking about here. That chaff was got rid of. It says the wind driveth away. And that's what he's going to do to all of those that are ungodly. They're going to be driven away, and they're going to spend their time in hell until that great white throne judgment, and then they'll all be cast into that lake of fire. And as the word tells us, the worm never dies, and they have no way out. It'll be for eternity. Never no end. You know, it's hard now for me to understand, even though all the years I can look back and see the things I've done, I should not have done. But see, those years I didn't have that growth. I didn't have that understanding. But I also didn't know anything about that lake of fire. Because even, I can't see anyone wanting to go there. That just don't make sense to me. But there was a time I was headed there. Now, verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. See, they're not going to be standing with us. We're all told that we're going to wait for a day of judgment. Right or wrong? So what do you take from that? Well, you know, we're just going to be waiting. Oh, we'll be with Jesus. We're saved. We'll be with Jesus. We die, well, we're just going to rest and all, wait for that judgment day, and then that judgment day will be judged. No. Mm-hmm. The moment you step out of this life and into the next, you're going to stand before him. Oh, now, Pastor, you don't know that. Yes, I do. I've been there. I've been there. But he had to work for me. So he cleansed me and sent me back. But even to those of my family that was there at the time, they knew I was gone. I had no heartbeat, no pulse, and my body was cold. Because you see, I wasn't there. I was standing before him. I heard my master intercede for me. I heard the Lord intercede for me. And that's why I was given another chance. And I've been growing a long, long time. And I'll tell you, I'm not the same man today as I was yesterday. I'll not be the same man tomorrow that I am today. Because the Lord God is with me. He's walking with me. He's holding on to me. He's not letting me go. He's always there. He's always giving me something else. Almost every moment of my life now, I'm hearing his voice from above. And so can you. And if you want to make heaven your home, that's where you've got to get. You've got to get to that point to where there is nothing that stands between you and him. That's why I keep saying that we all need to find a church that is teaching his words, walking with him, and stay in it, and don't get out here and get in with this wrong teaching and all that's going on. We've got a lot of it going on. They're not baptizing you right, and that's something you've got to have. That's some. My word, that's his word. You find that in Acts 2.38. He tells you what you need. Acts 2.38 tells you exactly what you need to become a child of God. Now, verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the righteous. And if you are a child of God, that is the pathway that we are walking upon. We're walking upon that pathway of righteousness. And God knows us. He knows all about us. He knows where we are. He knows why we're there. And he knows where we're going. A lot of times we don't even know that. Amen. This morning, I couldn't have told you I was going to be preaching from where I'm preaching. Because he hadn't given it to me yet. No. But the ungodly is going to perish. That ungodly is going to spend time in hell. Amen. It's exactly what he's going to do.
Amen.
Now, that finishes up Psalms 1. I'm going to start here in Psalms 2. I don't think we'll get all the way through it. But we'll see what God's got. In Psalms 2, the topic of that says, why do the heathen rage?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That's like us today. We wonder why it is that we have so much trouble getting people to come with us to church. And that's exactly what this verse is asking. Why is it so hard for you and I to get them to come to church? Because they are imagining all kinds of vain things, things that are not of importance to God. They're imagining vain things that's going on out here in this world, and they're more interested in that than they are in God. In verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Uh-oh. Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let's go back and read that again. The kings of the earth. We don't have a king. We got one that calls himself the president, but they set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And that's exactly what they have done. Our leadership and our president has sat together in council to defy our God and to bring our government out from under him and put it into a social government. That's what they're working for right now. That's why all this mess we got going on. Because they have found out that most of the stuff that they have gave mankind here to do does not work. But yet they're continuing with it because they want to find out how hard is it to get the people to follow us. And it's not all Democrats doing it. It's a handful we got up there in leadership position. And they're taking our country away from us to do away with our God. They took Jesus out of every place he was ever in. They took him even out of our prayers. We're not supposed to be using his name in prayer. I'm not really supposed to end my prayers in Jesus' name. They are walking with Satan. And they're doing his bidding. Now, verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. You and I, we pray for them, but we can also laugh at them because we know what kind of hole they are digging for themselves.
Amen.
Now, 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. God's not happy with them at all. And he's going to let them know it. They think they're putting something over on mankind. And they are. But they're not getting it put over on God. He is in control. He's still in control. And he will remain in control. But until this nation will learn that and learn to walk in obedience unto him and repent for the evil they have brought upon their people, he is not going to heal our land. If this nation would repent, put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and turn from these evil ways they are doing and have brought to the people, and instead of being for abortion, be against abortion, for being for homosexuality, be against homosexuality, be against all the sins, then God would heal this land. He tells you he would. He said if your land would repent and turn from their evil ways, I will heal your land. That's his word. Now, But he done said that he's got wrath for them, and he's going to vex them. Because they're standing in his, as the word says, sore displeasure. They're standing in his displeasure. That ain't no place to be standing. Let me tell you. Now, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. You see, he's always got a plan. He says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. He's talking about the Lord Jesus there. And he is the one we have to go to in order to become that believer and have our sins covered by his blood. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. He's not happy about it either, is he? This is the author that wrote that. Verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. In other words, they're going to have troubles like they never believed. And this nation here is going to see things they have not even dreamed of yet, because we are standing in the displeasure of Almighty God as a nation. Now, if you belong to Jesus, you don't have to worry about it, but he's going to take care of you. He's got his ways. We may not know how he's going to do it, but he knows. That's all necessary. We've got our trust and our faith in him, and he will take care of us until he comes for us. And that's not as far down the road as what people would like to think. That's not far off as what mankind's believing today. We're close.
Amen.
It could happen actually at any time. There's nothing left to be done. He is waiting for the last one to be saved that is to be saved, and he'll be coming for the church. And we don't know when that's going to be. He don't even, but the Father does. Now, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Be instructed. Be taught. And that's what we all need. And we get that by coming to church, by being together, by the study of his word. Because it is through his word that gives us these things. Verse 11 and 12, and we'll close. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Serve him with fear. Fear of knowing what will happen if we don't serve him. You see, I don't fear him because I'm his. So what I fear is what is happening to those that don't belong to him, those that are not his. And I have family that don't belong to him. and I fear for them. I cry for them every night because they are not living their life with God. And I know that if he comes for his church, they're going to be left back here in a mess that I can't even explain to them how bad that mess will be. Because I don't know it all. I know some of it, yes, because he tells us some of it. But he don't tell us all of it. But he gives us warning that it'll be things like has never been done before. Verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, everything comes from God the Father when it comes to you and I through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have to be a part of him, and we have to walk in him and he in us. And the Holy Spirit is the same way. We are to walk in the Spirit. And he comes to make his abode in you and I. We call it being baptized by the Holy Spirit. But he comes to live within. He's filling you. He's your guide. He's your comforter. He is the one that is here to take care of you. And if God is healing a sickness you have, it is brought to you by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and it comes through Jesus. These are things that most don't think about anymore because they're walking in pride, selfishness, and self-thought. I don't need no one.
Amen.
I can do it all myself.
Amen.
No, they can't. They may think so. But without him, we can do nothing. We're going to see this church grow. I don't know when, but he does. And he sure ain't told me it wasn't going to. And he still got me right here. So, one day, things are going to break loose for us. But we all need to be out here sharing his word in his way with the people we know and inviting them to church. Now, if they say, no, I ain't going, that's fine. Next time you get around them, invite them again. Don't stand and argue with them or act like you're trying to force them to go. Just keep inviting them. And sooner or later, you may find that they'll come. And then it's up to God to hold them here. Because it's what will come from here, whether they'll stay or not. There'll be those that won't stay, yes, because they won't want what's coming from here. Everybody that walks through a church door ain't going to stay. Because you bring that sin forward to them. They don't want that. You see, you bring it to light. Just like the couple that I had once before, living together without being married. They wanted to join church. I told them I said I can't. You'd have to get married. As long as you're living this way. Now, if you could live together without seeing each other's nakedness,
without sexual encounters that made the things that work. Well, I can't do that. Where they went? They went to another church. I don't know what was told them there. I know they didn't stay there long either.
So they're all not, all that come in here is not going to stay. But they will be those come in that do until we get this church built. I had a Mennonite couple here. And I thought maybe they'd come back. They told me they really liked the service. And they was looking for another church. Of course, they was looking for one to work because their church was splitting up. So they was looking for one that they could have for their own Mennonite, another Mennonite church. But I invite them all here. I told them, I said, y'all welcome to come here with me. You can work here with me because your belief, what you all be actually believe in, what your association is set on, I could have written. I told them, I said, there's only one thing in there that I see different than you all look at it. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying I don't see it like you all do. And I'll be from him and her both. He sat there in the second seat there in the front, and she sat behind him. I told him, I said, you know, the only thing that I don't see as you all see it is her head covering. This is after the service is over. Let me get off of here. All right. All of you remember that we can be together come Thursday evening when we'll be back into the Word of God. So right now, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place that we can come and sit down and be together to study your word, Father, and to show Father, each other the things that we need in our lives to grow closer and stronger with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, to keep them in health, and to see to their needs. And for Israel and Jerusalem, Father, we pray for peace for them, because we know, Father, they are having very little peace today. But we pray more for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and as their King of Kings, Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This nation of ours, Father, the leadership that we have, help us to remove them from office, Father, and to replace them with ones that will work for your church, that will work for the Lord Jesus Christ, and will work with us and help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And to get our Constitution back, Father, back in force as it should be, and take this out of that hand of the few, Father, that is trying to destroy our land. Now, Father, for our prayer list tonight, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch them, fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, Brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, Pastor Smalls of the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Luke Bess and Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches make them lighthouses among the community in which they stand and a place of refuge to where those that are walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. These pastors, Father, fill them to overflowing with the Holy Spirit to keep these churches in the place in which they belong, teaching your word, Father, as it is written, not man's way, but your way. And Father, this young man, Will, that has been ordained into the ministry, I pray for him, Father. I pray that his teaching has been by the Holy Spirit and that he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie and that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, also make them a lighthouse and a place of refuge. And Father, keep one in that church that is filled with the Holy Spirit to make that a place and a house of prayer, a place to where the lost can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my friends there in Pakistan, Father, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. We know, Father, they walk in lands right now that if they are found in some of these places will mean imprisonment and death. Now for the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, for my family. Father, we all have family members that are walking in darkness. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within our families, Father. Work with those that are in darkness. Help to turn them to the Lord Jesus Christ and bring them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all can make heaven their home. Jimmy Embry, Sharon Monvillo, her mother, for Sue, for Palance, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Henry Crickle. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Father, touch them in a mighty and great way. Touch them so they'll know that it is you and not mankind. This church, Father, make it what you want it to be. Work with us, Father, and help us to share with this community your word, your will, and your way. Let them see the light, Father, that will shine from this place. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless everyone. Hope to see you, God willing, Thursday evening. So until then, good night.